Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Confronting Evil, Assessing the Worst of the Worst by Bill O'Reilly is a brisk, judgment-driven tour through figures and forces that the author argues have inflicted exceptional harm on human life and civilization. Drawing on O'Reilly's familiar approach as a popular history communicator, the book frames evil less as an abstract idea and more as a pattern of choices, leadership styles, and institutional dynamics that enable cruelty at scale. Readers can expect a series of case-based assessments rather than a single narrative arc, with each segment weighing how certain individuals gained power, how they justified violence, and why societies failed to stop them sooner. The emphasis is on clear moral evaluation alongside accessible historical context, aiming to help non-specialists make sense of atrocities that can otherwise feel distant or incomprehensible. The result is positioned as both a historical overview and a cautionary guide to recognizing destructive ambition, propaganda, and dehumanization before they metastasize into catastrophe. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, defining evil through action, not abstraction, a central through line, is the practical definition of evil, as measurable harm carried out through deliberate decisions. Instead of treating evil as a mysterious force, the book encourages readers to look for recurring behaviors. The normalization of brutality, the strategic use of fear, and the willingness to treat entire groups as disposable. This lens makes historical atrocities feel less like unrepeatable anomalies and more like outcomes that follow identifiable steps. The narrative style focuses on what leaders did, what they believed they could get away with, and how they learned to manipulate institutions to protect themselves. By grounding moral judgment in consequences and intent, the discussion becomes accessible for readers who want clarity rather than philosophical debate. The topic also highlights the difference between ordinary wrongdoing and systemized cruelty, where an individual can orchestrate mass suffering through bureaucracies, armies, or secret police. A key takeaway is that evil at scale usually requires participation or compliance from others, whether through coercion or persuasion. That insight leads naturally to questions about responsibility, who enabled the worst actors, how did bystanders rationalize silence, and what social conditions lowered resistance. The book uses such patterns to frame later examples and to help readers recognize warning signs in any era. Secondly, power, propaganda, and the machinery of dehumanization. Another major topic is how the worst perpetrators consolidate authority and then reshape reality for the people they control. The book emphasizes the interplay of power and messaging. Propaganda reduces empathy, turns neighbors into enemies, and makes violent policies sound necessary or even virtuous. Leaders who commit large-scale crimes often begin by capturing information channels, discrediting independent voices, and rewarding loyalty over competence. Once that environment is established, dehumanization becomes easier because language itself changes, shifting from individuals with rights to categories portrayed as threats or pests. Infortu res. This is not only a moral failure, but a technical one, a set of tools that convert political goals into moral permission slips. The analysis also draws attention to how institutions can become instruments of harm when they are staffed by people who prioritize career security or ideology over conscience. Police, courts, militaries, and media can be repurposed to punish dissent and to build a narrative of inevitability around repression. A related point is that propaganda does not need to convince everyone. It often aims to confuse, exhaust, or isolate opponents so resistance feels futile. Understanding these mechanisms helps readers see how atrocities are sold to ordinary citizens and how lies can become the social glue that holds a violent regime together. Thirdly, profiles of the worst and the traits they share. The book is structured around assessing notorious actors, using a profile approach to examine why certain individuals rise to become exceptionally destructive. While each case differs in culture and era, the profiles tend to highlight overlapping traits, extreme narcissism, a belief in personal destiny, an ability to charm or intimidate, and a comfort with cruelty as a tactic. These figures often display a keen sense of timing, exploiting chaos, economic distress, or national humiliation to present themselves as saviors. The topic is not just biographical, it is diagnostic. It asks what makes a leader willing to cross lines that others will not, and what enables them to keep escalating without restraint. The portraits also underscore opportunism, where ideology may serve more as a tool than a true commitment, adjusted as needed to maintain control. Another shared trait is the creation of inner circles that reward compliance and punish honesty, ensuring that bad decisions face no internal correction. The book also stresses how personal grievance can fuse with political ambition to justify revenge on a massive scale. By comparing these profiles, readers are invited to think about early warning indicators, intolerance of criticism, obsession with enemies, and the use of loyalty tests. The practical value is learning to distinguish strong leadership from cult-like domination, especially when a leader demands moral exemption for themselves. Fourthly, societal enablers, fear, apathy, and complicity. Beyond individual villains, the book repeatedly returns to the uncomfortable reality that mass harm usually requires social conditions that allow it. This topic examines the roles of bystanders, collaborators, and institutions that choose convenience over confrontation. Fear is an obvious driver, but apathy and cynicism can be equally potent, especially when people feel overwhelmed or assume someone else will intervene. The book highlights how incremental escalation works. Early abuses are tolerated because they appear limited, legalistic, or targeted at unpopular groups. Over time, the boundary of acceptable cruelty expands, and resistance becomes more dangerous and less organized. Another enabling factor is factionalism, when opponents of an emerging tyrant are too divided to coordinate, or when elites believe they can control the extremist once in office. The narrative also points to the seduction of stability, where citizens accept repression in exchange for the promise of safety or economic order. This dynamic shows how evil can be domesticated into everyday routines, supported by paperwork, slogans, and selective enforcement. The moral dimension is paired with a practical lesson. Democratic norms and human rights are not self-sustaining. They rely on habits of protest, independent institutions, and social solidarity. Readers come away with a clearer sense that preventing catastrophe is not solely the job of heroes, but of ordinary people refusing to normalize abuse. Lastly, lessons for the present, recognizing patterns before they repeat. A final important theme is the book's effort to turn historical judgment into present-day vigilance. By surveying extreme cases, it invites readers to identify patterns that tend to precede large-scale violence, scapegoating, conspiracy thinking, celebration of political violence, and attacks on independent scrutiny. The aim is not to equate current disagreements with past atrocities, but to show that the early stages of dehumanization and authoritarian control often look ordinary at first. The book encourages readers to pay attention to language that strips opponents of legitimacy, policies that erode due process, and leadership styles that demand unconditional loyalty. Another lesson is that institutions matter, because guardrails can slow or stop destructive ambition when they are staffed by people who take their roles seriously. The topic also stresses personal responsibility in information consumption, since propaganda thrives when audiences reward sensationalism and punish nuance. A practical implication is to build habits that reduce vulnerability to manipulation, seeking credible sources, supporting pluralism, and resisting the urge to excuse cruelty because it targets an outgroup. The book positions historical memory as a form of civic defense, arguing that understanding the worst can sharpen moral clarity and strengthen commitment to humane norms. In this way, the narrative functions as both a warning and a call to sustained attention. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want an accessible, morally direct overview of how extreme harm is carried out by powerful individuals and the systems that surround them. It will appeal to fans of narrative history, current events audiences who prefer clear judgments, and anyone trying to understand why societies sometimes tolerate brutality until it is too late. The benefits are practical as well as reflective. By emphasizing patterns such as propaganda, dehumanization, and incremental escalation, the book can sharpen a reader's ability to spot manipulative rhetoric, evaluate leaders beyond charisma, and take civic responsibility more seriously. It can also strengthen empathy by reminding readers that large-scale cruelty is not inevitable. It is built through choices and compliance. Compared with more academic works on genocide or authoritarianism, this book aims for speed, clarity, and broad readability, which makes it easier to finish and discuss. It offers a curated set of cases and a consistent framework for assessing them, reducing the barrier to entry for non-specialists. For buyers comparing similar titles, the value lies in its direct synthesis, memorable profiles, and focus on recognizable warning signs rather than dense theory. If you would like to support Bill O'Reilly, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.